And that's what slide guitar did for me. I was able to take all of those influences and crystallize that in a way by using the slide and the chordal tunings that I learned from listening to the old Delta bluesmen, and to develop my own sound that way. I mean, that's really learning how to finger pick my right hand from Chet Atkins and using the slide on my left hand with a little finger. It's really what set me on my path.
Each Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Ooh, make a better day now, baby. Ooh, better than ever before. Ooh, make a better day now, baby. Ooh, better than ever before.
Sonny, so glad to have you today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bruce.
Would like to just talk a little bit about your early influences. You're known for slide guitar, but you're a great singer, a great songwriter. You've done a lot. You've played with virtually everyone. How did you get started?
Well, I appreciate the vote, man. Well, a guitar was a big deal for me when I was a kid. I just fell in love with it. And I always wanted to, I wanted to learn how to play, and I wanted to write my own songs and all of that, and just one thing kind of leads to another. But I played in local bands when I got good enough, and eventually I started playing with Clifton Chenier, who was the Zydeco King, and that was similar. If I live in Louisiana, of course, but if I'd been raised in Chicago and Muddy Waters have brought me under his wing, it was the same kind of thing for me here. So I started doing studio work and met people, and you do one project and you meet, you know, producers that hire you for other things, and you play with other groups. But the next, really the break for me was working with John Hiatt, and he took my experience of playing music from playing mostly in clubs and venues like that and some festivals, but he just took it to a world stage because there was so much focus on him at the time, in particular after an album he made called Bring the Family with Jim Keltner, Ry Cooder, and Nick Lowe. And so I put the band together for him for that, and it just had so much attention from the critics and his fans that it really opened the doors for me.
You've played, performed, and recorded with Mark Knopfler, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Buffett, Kenny Loggins. The list goes on and on. Those are some pretty notable names. I'm curious, we're getting in the summer, and this is kind of Jimmy Buffett weather. What is he like to work with?
Oh, Jimmy's great, man. That guy, he has this empire of so many different things that he's involved with. I mean, he's got his band, he's got his music, he makes albums, he's got his own radio Margaritaville, he's got hotels, he's got casinos, he's got books he writes, he's got plays, now he's got a Broadway play. I mean, it just goes on and on. He's incredible. And he's so down to earth. You just never, ever figure that. And I really respect him because he started out, you know, like everybody else. And at one point, we figured out that our sort of timelines intersected in New Orleans a long time ago. And he was out on the street, you know, putting the hat down, you know, playing for change. And to see where, you know, how he started and where he is now, it's an incredible story. But he's great to work with. He takes incredible care of everyone, you know, the best hotels, private jets, the works, and his production's incredible. They he owns everything, the PA, the staging, you know, the crew is an enormous crew. And it's kind of like if you said, what would be the perfect way to put, you know, to do a show in terms of production, you know, like every possible thing you would need. And that's what he did. And it's fun to get a taste of that. You know, I told him I can't lose my edge because I've got to go back to get it the way I had to do it, you know, with my band. Yeah, you don't want to lose your edge, man, and you're in trouble. And it's good. I can go back and forth. It's been good for me. And I've been really fortunate to have the opportunities I've had, you know.
It's so cool. You have a song called the USS, and this is about a car that you had, an Oldsmobile. The USS mm-hmm. is a side of mm-hmm. Oldsmobile. What's the story?
Yeah, it's Oldsmobile. Yeah, that was my parents. It was a hand-me-down, huge Oldsmobile 98 Brougham, actually, Regency. And I had, at the time, I actually had a publishing contract, and I was writing songs for what was going to be my next album, which this would have been like 1997 or '98. And so I just really dove in, and a big part of that was just life experiences around in and around my hometown area. So me and my friends would pile in my car, and we'd just go to all these Zydeco clubs. And I always kept a guitar and an amp in the trunk. And sometimes I'd sit in and mostly dance, really, and just have a great time. So I felt like I was in the field, you know, being inspired to write songs. And that's one that came out of it. You mentioned Mark Knopfler, and when he came down and we recorded together here in Louisiana, he brought his wife and his manager. And so at one point we took a break and I said, hey man, let's go somewhere, you know, like you've never been before, because he wanted to experience the culture. So I took him to this little place that was real popular. And so he and his wife, Kitty, were on the back seat of my Zydeco-mobile. We're driving down the Brobridge little two-lane road. And he just thought it was the coolest thing, you know. There's this giant car, you know, they're kind of more economical in London and so forth. But they really had a great time. We went to this little place, had Cajun band playing, and you know, we danced, we, you know, ate really well, and they had a fun time and went back to the studio. It's kind of like you do these projects, but it's as much and more about the people you interact with and you get to know and become friends with, and the experiences you have together. And those are the best backstories for me.
You can feel the horses under the hood. They're thick and thin. The bull is out of the wood. And she's the smoothest ride, yeah. You'll never see. She the Delta slide of automobiles. Double clutching on the back seat. I hear you, yeah, with your main squeeze. They play a triple row. Accordion fields in the USS Zydeco's Mobile. The protocol of the losers. The protocol of the tail. The protocol of the reload code in the USS Zydeco's Mobile. Show. I get up on the trunk and dance with aboard the USS Zydeco's. one. We have faith and we have fun. God bless the turning wheel of my USS Zydeco's Mobile.
Explain to the listeners and me what Zydeco is. All I know is Southern Louisiana dance music. There must be more to it than that.
Well, there is. It's quite the history, because there are two factions here in this area. One is Cajun music, other Zydeco, and they sort of overlap at times. But the easiest way to describe it's like with Cajun music, started with the from the Nova Scotia and Acadia when they were Acadians were deported, and the English deported the French constituent a long time ago, and so they settled in various places, and one was here in South Louisiana. So they brought with them their influences, and including their music, and simultaneously or thereabouts. Creole, in particular in New Orleans, it meant different things at different times, but eventually it came to mean French-speaking black folks, and so there's the African influence. So they brought their music, you see, and both of them involve accordion. More with Cajun music is fiddle. And one of the percussion instruments is a little triangle of the T-fair. I say little, the thing. You can hear that a mile away. And with Zydeco music being more syncopated because of the African influence and perhaps more of a blues, you know, vibe, with Clifton played the big piano accordion, and his brother played the fauteuil, which is a rub board. And he literally started out using a rub board in the old days, and then they transitioned into developing this. It's like a metal vest that he used. It was incredible what he could do with that. So, you know, one with Cajun music had the two steps and waltzes, and then in Zydeco music, like I said, it's more syncopated, has more of a blues influence. And then these musicians played with each other. Amadi Audouin and Dennis McGee is a great example. Amadi Audouin was Creole, and Dennis McGee was a Cajun. You know, so it's a beautiful thing. So it overlapped at times, And a lot of these people were side by side as farmers. So they were, that's the, how the culture, that's a big part of the reason the culture is so rich and music is such a big part of it.
So it's a cross-pollination.
Yeah, and Louisiana has had that a lot. It's because dance and music and food is such a big part of the culture. That's why it was such a special thing for me when my family moved here, because I had that as a backdrop, you know, to draw influences from. It's there's just so much there, and New Orleans being one of the original ports, it had so many influences from all over the world, and that's why it's so unique, and that's the birthplace of jazz. And so, as a kid growing up, I had all of those influences going on, plus what was popular at the time. And when you're young, you don't, your filters are wide open, and you're not tainted with any kind of prejudice perception yet. And I just took it all in. And I think that's one of the greatest assets of growing up here for me.
It's amazing. You have a video tutorials on playing guitar, in particular slide guitar. It's so well articulated. And even if you don't play guitar, it's fascinating. But it's the best slide in general guitar technique videos I've seen. What's fascinating to me is, I mean, the slide, it has four windows and how you can look at different views. And your right hand is doing things. You have a thumb pick. You use your fingers to pick.
Uh-huh.
You hit harmonics with your hand. Sometimes you just bang on it. At what point in your life did you figure you were just going to take the rule book out the window and play it the way you wanted to it? Because you're all over the place. Wow.
Well, you know, I really never thought of it that way. And I think that's because you're in the moment, and inspiration is what it's all about. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing of creativity to me. It's the thing that keeps me going. And I mentioned how one thing led to another with my career. Well, it's the same thing with music, per se. When you get one idea, the light bulb goes off, you get fired up, and you realize there's more out there to discover. And so in a way, when I would develop a new technique or figure something out, I get all pumped up, and then that would lead to something else. And it really drove home the notion that there's no end to creativity. There's no such thing as perfection per se, because to presuppose that there's perfection is to accept that there's a limit to creativity, when in fact that's not true at all. There's always something else to learn. There's always another boundary to push. And I live for that. You know, that's what's really kept me going through everything else, with the ups and downs and the business part of the side of it. Well, in the music side of it, that's kind of the fuel that keeps the engine running for me. And you know, and to be able to articulate all that is the thing. At one point, I realized that I was very at ease of playing a lot of different styles of music because I had so many influences. But I knew that I needed some way to put all that together into a unified sound and to develop my own style. And that's what slide guitar did for me. I was able to take all of those influences and crystallize that in a way by using the slide and the chordal tunings that I learned from listening to the old Delta bluesmen, and to develop my own sound that way. I mean, that's really learning how to finger pick my right hand from Chet Atkins and using the slide on my left hand with a little finger. It's really what set me on my path.
Somehow I knew Chet Atkins was going to come into this. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
Zydeco Shuffle. It's one of those, the first time I heard Robert Johnson, I think it was a Wire recording from a million years ago, and I thought it was two guys. when I listen to Zydeco Shuffle, it's three guys, and I want to say the other two guys are pretty good too, but it's all you. It's all wood shot.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, that's a pretty good example of, you know, what I was just talking about, is pulling all the different influences together. And also the idea of having multiple parts. I mean, that's what Chet Atkins did for me. I was a kid, a teenager working in a local music store, and it really pretty much grew up in that store. And they had everything. And they had guitars. They provided instruments for all the kids in the schools, and the band directors got to order their sheet music there. The albums were on the racks, 45s, I mean, you name it.
Perfect.
And there was this one older kid who worked there with me, and his job was just guitars. He took care of the guitars, and he oversaw selling them and so forth. So he asked me, he said, "What kind of music do you like?" And I'm like, I guess I'm 15, something like that, 14 going on 15. And I said, "Well," and I told him, "Well, I like it." He said, "Well, have you ever heard of Chet Atkins?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I have, but I haven't really listened much to him." And so he sits down and starts playing these Chet Atkins songs, and I was mesmerized. Mm. I mean, he was literally playing the melody, the rhythm, and the bass lines all at the same time. And then I said, I got to know how to do that. And so he showed me the basic approach, and then he encouraged me, and he would kind of oversee it. But he wouldn't show me too much. He said, you have to learn some things for yourself. And it was actually good for me. That gave me the push. But that got me to thinking in terms of multiple parts. And I've become a fan of Andre Segovia, the great classical master.
Wow.
Carlos Montoya, the great flamenco guitarist, and all these jazz cats. So I started having it gave me a broader view of the role of the guitar as a solo instrument. And that's kind of what you hear with that song, Zydeco Shuffle.
It's crazy good. More with Sonny Landreth in part two.
Mama. listening to the Better Each Day podcast radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.